Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Streaming online at ESPNRochester.com. Breaking news, scores, and on-demand audio. Bookmark the sports leader, ESPNRochester.com.
You know, we last talked to Marcel Louis-Jacques. He was in the middle of a squall. I don't think he was too happy about it. We're getting pounded here in Rochester today. Is it any better out in Buffalo, Marcel?
It's a lot better, actually. You know, a little windy, don't get me wrong, but there's no snowfall anymore. There was some snow this morning, a little bit of chop this morning, but nothing like last week, man. That was awful.
No. You never get used to it. Marcel Louis-Jacques, the great Bills beat reporter for ESPN.com, joining us here in the sports bar. Marcel, in the locker room today, we had a game here earlier in the week where we tried to guess the number of Bills players that would be named starters of the Pro Bowl, and I thought three, and they ended up with one. Anybody with a chip on their shoulder, you know, being snubbed? What was the reaction in the locker room today?
Yeah, you know, the Pro Bowl is such a mercurial event, man, because, you know, everybody claims it doesn't matter until a bunch of their either favorite players or them themselves get voted into it. Then all of a sudden it's a blessing. But as far as chips on their shoulder, Jordan Phillips tweeted out last night a bunch of laughing emojis once he was named a fourth alternate. I think, you know, the coach speak was back on today. The PR mandated scrum was back on today. He just basically said, you know, I'm here to do my job. I'm not here to make a Pro Bowl. If I do what I'm meant to do, then I will always be remembered in Buffalo. And supposedly that means, you know, if he helps this team win a Super Bowl, that Buffalo will never forget him. And he's not wrong there. But yeah, he was a you know, there's a lot of talk locally among the fan base that he's a big snub this year. Numbers wise, I mean, the 9.5 sacks, he's the only player listed in NFL history to be listed at 340 pounds or heavier to rack up that many sacks in a single season. And a matter of fact, as far as NFL history goes, all the players, according to Pro Football Reference, who have been listed at 340 pounds or heavier, he ranks, I believe it's 15th all time in sacks already, just based on the strength of this season. It's kind of funny it helps you realize just how rare it is to see a guy that size put up numbers like this. But I thought the biggest snubs were Matt Milano and Micah Hyde. For Micah not to make it as an alternate, and for Milano as well, I mean, with how important they are to this defense, how talented they are, Milano especially, seemed a little bit odd. But you know, Pro Bowls is what it is, man. It's more or less a popularity contest, and you ain't winning much of those in Buffalo.
It's something that we're just measuring ourselves against one another right now, whether that's one franchise against another, it's a player against a player, and then when we actually get to the thing, you forget about it and we make fun of it. So it is, like you said, a mercurial thing. Marcel Louis-Jacques, our guest here in the sports bar, sticking with Phillips, 9.5 sacks, and you know, they've been some pretty big sacks too, namely that one that came late with Pittsburgh out of timeouts, helping to seal that victory. We know he's a free agent. What do you think the market is for Jordan Phillips this offseason?
I mean, I truly believe somebody's going to offer him $10-plus million a year, and I don't think that team's going to be Buffalo. And if you're Jordan Phillips and you just had the season of your life here, you know, you're going to have to make the decision here. And I think that's what it's going to come down to. He's going to have to make a decision if he wants to remain in Buffalo, which he said that he wants to do, or is he going to chase the money? personally, you know, I'm of the belief, you know, athletes, you can perform at this level for a very brief period of time, man. I will never criticize somebody for chasing money. I will never criticize somebody for chasing the biggest payday possible. So if that's the case, you know, I encourage fans to wish him nothing but the best, man. He's doing what anybody else would do in his situation. But I think that's what it's boiling down to, because I don't believe, even with $90 million in there in projected cap space this offseason, I don't think the Bills offer him anything substantial. Not when Tre'Davious White is official. I'm on record before. I'm re-stamping my point now. He's going to reset the market at corner. I believe right now the highest average annual value is $17.5 million. Xavien Howard in Miami. Tre'Davious White is a better cornerback than Xavien Howard. Tre'Davious White's going to reset that market. You've got Matt Milano, who's playing himself into a $40 or $50 million, probably north of $45 million total. You've got Deion Dawkins, who plays a premier position. That's going to warrant $9+ million. Jordan Poyer is up for an extension. You still got to save money for Josh Allen eventually, before that quarterback market gets just too ridiculous. Like, there are players who that money is allotted to, and that's before you even get to decisions like Jordan Phillips or Shaq Lawson. I would believe, as good as they've been, Phillips especially, I think he might be a little low on the totem pole as far as priority in getting guys paid, simply because they just spent a first-round pick on a player that plays his position. That's their priority at that position right now. And they've got another guy making $10 million a year in Star Lotulelei who can't be cut. I think it's something around $7, $8 million in dead cap if he's cut next year. They're stuck with that deal for another season. So their options are a little limited when it comes to that defensive line, but that's more or less how I feel on the matter.
Yeah, no, in Lawson figuring this too, and what's interesting about Shaq Lawson, not anybody, if somebody wants to point it out, not anybody said this is the wrong decision, the Bills should be picking up the fifth-year option. I think everybody kind of nodded their head and understood what was going on here, and I'm actually happy for Shaq Lawson, a player that shines brightly in a year where he's forced to bet on himself, where you see the market maybe going as much as $10 million for a Jordan Phillips. For a player like Shaq Lawson, his career is a little different here, first-round pick, but didn't perform that way up until this year, what's the market, would you think, for Shaq Lawson should he hit the open market?
I think that's the same. I think somebody might see him and over – well, I don't think he's going to get Tampa, Shaquille Barrett numbers. Because his sack numbers aren't that high, and that's what's sexy. That's what attracts, these deep pockets. But I don't think it's crazy to say he probably gets, you know, north of eight and a half a year. I'm not saying that's from Buffalo, but I also don't think I'm more open to the team re-signing Shaq Lawson. Like if I'm the Bills, and I have to choose between the two, I'd probably go with Shaq over Lawson over Phillips, because there's less of a set in place plan at defensive end. Jerry Hughes has been good this year. He's locked up for the next few years, but other than that, Daryl Johnson, he's shown promise. He still has room to develop though. Trent Edwards is not playing up to that contract right now, and Shaq Lawson's looking like your second best defensive end, and I think he deserves to get paid like it. Listening to him talk, you know, what really caught my attention, I just wrote a story about the two of them the other day. I asked them, you know, what did you ever think after you're drafted here your rookie year? Did you ever think that this culture and this franchise could get to this point? And he said just straight up that, you know, when he first got to the league, it kind of just felt like a party. You know, that little discipline, it's all about fun. They're not working hard. And he said that Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott coming here and doing what they've done to this franchise was great for everybody, but especially him. He says it feels like it made him grow up. He realizes that he's not one of their guys, and he appreciates that they've kept him around for this long. But I think that he's grown up and matured from a work ethic standpoint, and now from a production standpoint. So I'm more open to getting to bringing Shaq Lawson back, but maybe on something something shorter, something like a prove it deal, maybe a 1 year deal, just saying, hey man, like, I understand that you might have gotten better, but this was a contract year. I want to see you do it again. I want to see that ability. I want to see you sustain that level of production for two seasons in a row, and then we'll talk big time. We'll talk long term.
Marcel Louis-Jacques, ESPN.com NFL Nation reporter, our guest here in the sports bar. There was an erroneous report today, Marcel, certainly not from you, but that Sean McDermott was named the coach of the year. I'm like, what? We got to that point? But no, that's not true. But there is this talk now, this speculation, if we are taking an honest look, like who should be the coach of the year. Marcel, quite often it goes to the guy that, well, this franchise exceeded expectation. I don't think people here in Western New York, yeah, it's a nice season, but I think our expectation this team would be okay. But it seems like, wow, where did this Bills team come from? Would you say Sean McDermott is a favorite right now for coach of the year?
I think it's Sean McDermott and it's Kyle Shanahan in no particular order. I'd probably put Shanahan over McDermott, but I'd listen to either argument because really, the Niners' biggest problem was their quarterback was hurt. They got the quarterback back, and that defense got turned around, and they are where they are now. But, no, it's funny when that report or misleading report came out, I was standing next to Derek Boyko, the Bills' director of communications, and the team owner, Terry Pakula, and I asked both of them, hey, is there any truth to this? And they shot it down immediately, but they couldn't be in better position, like physical position, when that came out. But no, I wouldn't be shocked to see him to see him win the award. I think he's done a fantastic job here. I think he's widely recognized as an excellent coach. You hear it all the time. That's the Bills might not get a lot of respect from the so-called national media, but the one consistent narrative surrounding the team nationally is that they are well-coached. Organization, a well-coached team, and that's got a lot to do with Sean McDermott there. So now I think he's got a coach of the year award in his future. If not this year, then perhaps next year if this team turns into a dynamite Super Bowl contender.
I find it interesting that Pakula was there. I mean, I saw the pictures on social media, Trey White giving him an LSU gift for the holidays. Is that commonplace for the Bills owner to be showing up on a Wednesday workday like this?
You know, this is the first time that I've met him. This is the first time that I can remember seeing him. But he's so low key that it's kind of hard to tell when he's there and when he's not. The only reason really I recognized him today was he had a Sabres jacket and Bill sweatpants on, and he already kind of looked like himself. I believe he had a hat on at some point too, and it was just like, man, he's just an unassuming profile. You know, there's some teams, some owners, like, you know, Jerry Jones, if you see Jerry Jones, probably in a suit, probably got the sunglasses on, he walks with a certain kind of air. Certain owners are like that, but guys like Terry Pegula, David Tepper was the same way in Carolina. Sometimes they're just so unassuming that they blend right in, and maybe that's the point. I can relate to that. If I'm a boss, if I'm owning a team, if I'm running a team, you know, I wouldn't want, you know, people to look at me like I'm some untouchable being. I would still want to be seen as, you know, I'm among you, like we're all in this together. And that's the kind of vibe I get from Terry Pegula.
I would assume, because he's not one to be like Jerry Jones where, hey, I'm here. Hey, you have a few minutes to answer some questions? Sure. And Jerry Jones will tell you exactly what is on his mind. I mean, Terry Pegula didn't talk to reporters today, did he?
Oh, no, definitely not. We spoke off the record. It was mostly just you know, hey, how you doing? I'm Marcel. I work for ESPN. Meaning to say hi for a while. Asked me where I was from. Pointed to that white stuff on the ground outside and asked if I'd ever seen that before. slowly explained that it was snow and it is cold. But no, fun guy. It was a very pleasant meeting. And just watching the interaction between him and Trey, I thought was pretty funny.
Marcel Louis-Jacques, we have not even gotten to the game coming up this Saturday New England. Your takeaways from Josh Allen today. I mean, what does Josh Allen need to learn this time around from his mistakes the first meeting with New England this year?
Well, that's the beauty of it. I think I kind of think he has learned his lesson, and that's the one thing that I'll consistently say about Josh Allen is he has shown the ability to learn from his mistakes and recognize where he needs to improve. And this game, this Patriots game in week four, he called it the turning point of his career because he realized, and it was apparent on film, when he was trying to do too much with the ball. And I mean, if you look back, you really haven't seen that. You haven't seen that from him ever since. And I think over the past couple of weeks, these past two interceptions he threw against Pittsburgh and against Denver, they're the first interceptions of the season where it's like, oh, that's not a head-scratching decision. You don't look around in the box and say, what the hell was that? I think he recognized who he is. He realized his limitations, what he can and can't do with the football after that New England game. And the remarkable thing is, though, that even with him throwing three interceptions, the Bills still put up 375 yards of offense against New England. It's the most yards that they've given up all season to this day. They gave up 372 in a loss to Baltimore. So the Bills can move the ball in this game and did so without Devin Singletary, who's probably been the hottest runner one of the hottest runners in the league right now. He's the fourth leading rusher ever since week 11. So there's a lot, I think, of positive momentum for Buffalo coming into this game, to the point where, you know, I'm kind of having a hard time convincing myself that New England's going to win this game. I kind of think Buffalo takes it.
Yeah, you know, Marcel, I thought it was interesting following the Cincinnati win, the home opener. You remember New England was the following week, and Jerry Hughes was talking to reporters, and I was right there when he was asked the question, hey, it's New England week, what do you think? And he just kind of gave it's another game. I'm like, wow. Well, darn, that wasn't the quote I was hoping for, you know, that you want as a reporter, but is it any different this week? And I put it in this context because for everybody else here, Marcel, I'm sure you get this feeling. This would be the first time you beat Tom Brady in his place in a game that actually meant something. There's this Week 17 game 1 year with Kyle Orton that didn't matter anything. But what was being said, if anything, today in regards to this matchup and finally an opportunity to go in there and winning a meaningful game in New England?
You know, and that's one thing that you're going to get constantly from this team, and it comes from the top down. That they try not to treat any matchup like it's any bigger than another. So you got a lot more of the same here today. That you know, this is a talented team. This is the New England Patriots. They are Tom Brady is the GOAT for a reason. Jordan Phillips said that there's a lot of respect for New England, but I you can't help but think that this Bills team has repeatedly shown up when the spotlight is on them this season, with the exception of the offense against Baltimore a few weeks ago. But you kind of just get the feeling that they're confident enough where when they say they think they can win any game, it's not just smoke. I think they truly believe it, and I think they have the ability to. On paper, New England's defense is still elite, but so is Buffalo's, and I'm more of a believer in Buffalo's offense at this point than New England's. And I think it could just be, you know, a little naivete. I actually don't know how to pronounce the word, but it could just be me being naive and not being around here for so much of this, the struggle against New England. But I kind of think the storyline makes too much sense. You know, it makes enough sense to discard the stats. We don't know if this is Tom Brady's last game. We don't know if this is the last game of the against the Patriots or against the Bills with Bill Belichick. So it could be the final time Buffalo sees this unconquerable duo that's been haunting them for the past 20 years. You know, a win keeps the AFC East title alive. It'd just be the nail in the coffin, I think, for a Patriots season that's kind of spiraling at this end of the year. It makes a little too much sense. It's the same feeling I got before the Dallas game, and I tried to listen to my head over my gut there, and I got burned. So I'm going to listen to my gut here, and I'm picking Buffalo to win on Saturday, man. I think it's yet another wake up call to the rest of the league that this team in Western New York is for real.
That would be great. Could Miami win in New England though? I mean, we can't fantasize about that, right, Marcel?
Hey. It is Ryan Fitzpatrick, and I wouldn't be shocked. That's all I gotta say.
I can't even describe so much. There's a whole generation of Bills fans that don't even know what it's like to have a home playoff game. But, Marcel, knowing that, well, next Wednesday's the Christmas holiday, the following Wednesday is New Year's Day, we're not going to talk in between now and then. Who would be the best opponent for the Buffalo Bills? I'm sure you've thought a little bit about this, but when you're looking at who do the Bills match up best against in the first round, would you say, and who would be the team that you would think that this team might give Buffalo some problems if the Bills draw this team, whether that be, well, let's assume, the wild card round?
I think, first of all, I want to say that I see this defense as matchup-proof, to borrow a fantasy football term right now. I think that it doesn't matter, especially after facing Dallas and Baltimore in back-to-back weeks. I don't think it matters who they're playing. I don't think it matters what your gimmick is. I think this defense is built to shut whatever offense down. So teams like KC and Baltimore, I don't think that they would worry me from Buffalo's standpoint. But the best possible matchup is also what I think the most likely matchup, and that's traveling to Houston. Houston, I think, really kind of backed into a win against the Patriots there for, I think, was the Pats' first loss of the season. New England dominated time of possession. They dominated them on the stat sheet. Their offense racked up yards after yards after yards. And Houston just, like I said, kind of lucked into it. It's not as good a defense as I think we're accustomed to seeing when they had guys like Jadeveon Clowney and J.J. Watt in their prime. There's not a strong running game to fall back on. Carlos Hyde, I think, is just past a 1,000-yard plateau, but they're not scaring you on the ground like teams like, you know, Baltimore or Dallas would. And if you got to become one-dimensional, Deshaun Watson is a fantastic quarterback, don't get me wrong. But one-dimensional, if the Bills know that you have to throw the ball, I'm taking Buffalo over whatever offense is in front of them. So I think Houston's a great matchup. I think if they have to, if they've got to go into Baltimore after that, I think that's an intriguing playoff game. That's an intriguing playoff rematch. It was such a close game beforehand that I would be remiss to say any team is a definitive favorite over the other. But I think Buffalo is going to start getting some hype pretty soon as a team that nobody really wants to see just because of what that defense can do. And I think what that offense showed us during that 3-week stretch against Miami, Denver, and Dallas, so what it can do when it gets comfortable and when it gets hot. So look out for the Bills, man. I think they can make some noise this postseason.
The great Marcel Louis-Jacques joining us here in the sports bar. Marcel, what I love about the holidays, one of the things is it gives us all a little more time. And me, myself, I like to read. So today, the article you have up today about the selfie going up at the Albright Knox Gallery, I don't know if that happens in any other NFL market, but between that and what are some other things that Bills fans can catch up on here in the coming weeks?
You know, I think that it's officially time that we can start looking at playoff matchups, and we can start getting into X and O's a little bit more. And I think that's more of the focal point now in this time of the season than the featurey stories that I've been writing for the past few months. I've still got one or two in my pocket that I don't want to spoil just yet. I want to wait until it gets the official green light, and then I'll let you know. But I think we're starting to look at some playoff matchups, man, and that's exciting here. There's a new standard, I believe, of Buffalo Bills football. We heard so much from Deion Dawkins that these guys, especially given that 90% of the roster has only been here 3 years, they don't know 17 years of demise with this franchise. They are accustomed to making the playoffs now, and Bills fans, I want y'all to let that sink in, that this team is accustomed to winning. You might not be, but that's not what these players know. So I think it's just an exciting time to be in Buffalo, man.
It is. Marcel, happy holidays to you. We always appreciate your time keeping us updated on the Buffalo Bills. Be well. And, let's catch up that week, those few days right before the first playoff game. Marcel, again, happy holidays. Thanks so much for your time today.
Same to y'all. Going to miss you next week, but enjoy the time with your families.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.